Last week we had a lesson where we saw where Jeremiah was told in a message from God to buy a field from his cousin, and we talked about that particular lesson from the standpoint of God says buy a field, you buy the field. But the text went on to reveal that Jeremiah had some doubts and struggled with his instructions to do that. So it appears from the text that he was a little confused about why he would do that when Babylon was right outside the door about to take the city and the land. And so we emphasize that Jeremiah still did what God told him to do. But the point of the lesson is you do what God commands you to do, even when you may have some doubts or you may have some confusion. You still do what the Lord wants you to do. And God went on further after Jeremiah had prayed and told him that he was going to do, bring him back to the land. And so he answered that prayer and explained further. But a comment was made to me by someone on the way out where they said, what we need now is a lesson on knowing when to buy the field. So we're told to buy a field, but how do we know that today? And so I understood that that comment meant, how do we know today what God wants us to do in various situations? That's the way I took that. It's like, well, okay, we know that if God tells us to buy a field, let's buy the field. But how do we know today what God wants us to do? Should I move here? You know, moving is a big deal. And so sometimes we have that question, is this going to be a good move for me? What about, what should I take this job? Well, there's been a lot of times that we think it's greener on the other side and it doesn't end up being that way. And there's a lot more conflicts and problems. And then, should I marry this person? That's a huge one in our lives about who shall we marry. Such an important question that we would ask. What school do I go to? You know, what college should I attend? You might be thinking about starting a business. Should I start my business? There's just all kinds of these big decisions that we may have. And so just like the question was asked, well, how do we know when to buy the field? I think what we're getting at is we all understand, and we're going to talk about this at the start, that God doesn't communicate to us that way where we get, you know. So the question is being asked, well, we've got a decision to make in front of us. How do we know what God wants us to do? And that's really what, and the direction that I have gone with this sermon that I want us to consider. God did tell Jeremiah directly what to do. The text said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, God said, buy the field. And so he bought the field. And we want to do what God would have us to do. But, you know, we're confronted with choices and decisions. And so, you know, we don't have that same kind of communication. And that's where we want to start, is showing that we don't have that same kind of communication with God. But the answer to the question is, you know, no, we don't have that kind of communication today. But you know what? There's a lot of people, and maybe even you, honestly, to where many religious people believe that God does directly communicate with them. And that's where we need to start, is does God directly communicate with us like he did with Jeremiah? Well, to answer that question, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews is just a wonderful book to help make so many great connections for us when it comes to the Old Testament and the New Testament and application today. God, who at various times, verse 1, and in various ways, in times past, spoke to the fathers in times past by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So from this passage, there are two important truths that we need to understand. One is that, yes, God did speak with man directly through the prophets. That, in fact, is identified in times past, that God did do that. So we want to acknowledge that. Yes, God did speak to Jeremiah. Yes, God did deliver a message to Amos. Yes, Moses the prophet foretold of the prophet, you see. But yes, these are men who were receiving messages from God that were delivering those messages. And so verse 1 tells us that God did communicate with man in the past that way. Well, it may have been that the voice of God was actually speaking. Or maybe it was an angel delivering his message. Or maybe it was the prophet that delivered his message. Or maybe God was speaking through the vision, like we see in some of the Old Testament passages where God delivered a message. Or even today in Revelation, though we're just looking about how he communicated in times past. But the second thing that we need to recognize here is that today, the second important truth is that God no longer speaks to us that way, because he now communicates with man through his Son, or by his Son, Jesus Christ. That's very clear in our text. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. So that's why I had in our scripture reading, Matthew 17, verse 5. That is on the Mount of Transfiguration, where you have God from heaven pronouncing the truth. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You remember Peter wanted to build a temple to both Moses and Elijah. No, hear my Son. That's the point that we're seeing here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. So we can conclude from this passage and also Matthew 17 that there is no modern day prophets, because God doesn't speak that way anymore. So Muhammad, who says he got messages from God in the 7th century AD, no, he didn't. Or Joseph Smith in the 19th century, in the 1800s, no, he didn't. And then I thought, well, I'm going to put in search. Are there any modern day prophets today? Yes, there's a big one called Felix Manileo of the Philippines, a church in the Philippines that claims to be speaking on behalf of God. And so, no, this passage would say, no, God used to speak that way. He does not speak to us this way today. And so I thought it'd be good, and this, again, you're seeing my way of working through and stepping through these thoughts to get to this, well, how do we answer this question of when to buy the field? Well, we understand God's communicating through his Son. Jesus verified this. He confirmed this in a number of passages. But I want to lock in on John chapter 12, and I want to look at this passage where he says in verse 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days." Now, we also see where he goes on, he says, "For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So what the Father told me, that's what I say. Isn't that what Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says? God used to speak this way, but now he speaks through his Son. You know who else confirmed that? And that is the Apostle Paul over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. And Brother Goble in our Bible class, he asked about the question of faith, which we'll get to, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. But when we think about a faith once delivered in Galatians chapter, or a gospel once delivered in Galatians chapter 1, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about the doctrine of Christ, the message of Christ. Well, it's been delivered. And so Paul is saying, "But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." So here's the message, and it's been delivered, and nobody's going to come along later and change that message. So you don't have these modern-day prophets. God is speaking through his son. And Paul is confirming that we've got this, and we're giving you the message. We are his apostles going out and doing this. So there's no modern day prophets where God communicates to us. No, it's going to be through his son. Through his son. Well, then I was saying, okay, so God communicates this through his son. And so then I have to ask the question. I said, well, how does God's son communicate with us today? So God says, I'm communicating through my son. And so that begs the question. It says, okay, well, how is he communicating? How am I getting his message today? Well, is it audibly? Whoops, already up there. Is it audibly? Does Jesus speak to us where we can physically hear his voice and he tells us what to do? You know, there's a lot of people that believe that that's exactly what Jesus is doing. I had a lady tell me years ago, she said, the Lord's coming to me at night and he's giving me lyrics to write down hymns. And as she was there, and it started off, what's very interesting is she started coming, she really liked the messages that I was bringing, truth, until the things that I was saying wasn't matching with her belief of how God was talking to her in the middle of the night. So she stayed around until it was said, no, God is not communicating. Jesus isn't communicating. But you listen to the way people talk, the way people, yes, they believe that God and Jesus are somehow whispering in their ear. But the answer is no. But we'll have to understand why. And so I'm going to put that off for just a minute as to answer that question, why he's not speaking to us audibly, in just a moment, because I want to look at that second one. Does the Son speak to us via signs or experiences? And I'm just going to tell you up front here, no. No. But let me read to you a post of a country music singer-songwriter that I just happened to read. Look at this. He was talking about being baptized again, but he was, you start saying, well, I'm not really being baptized again. In other words, he'd been baptized before, but now he's being baptized. And here's what he says. And then as I waded out into the waters of Yellowstone, just before I went under, a wind started blowing that wasn't there a moment before. It wasn't exactly a mighty rushing wind like the one described at Pentecost, but everyone there could feel his presence in it. What's he saying? He's saying that God or the Lord was speaking to him via the wind as a sign that what you are doing is right and good. Now, we wouldn't condemn and say you were baptized, if you're being baptized to wash your sins away. But why is it that people have the wind blow, or they look over and they see a insect do this or that, and they see that as a sign, or they happen to come up out of the water and they look up in the side and the clouds just happen to have come and the sun starts peeking out and they say, there it is, God is speaking to me. Does Christ communicate with us this way? Does he communicate with man? And the answer is no. He does not. He is not audibly speaking. So here's our question where we're going with this. When do I know to buy the field? That was the question that was raised. All right, I'll buy the field when the Lord tells me. But how is he communicating with me? Is he going to whisper in my ear and say, yes, you need to take that job. Yes, you need to marry that person. No, don't marry that person. Is he audibly doing that? The answer to that is no. Is there a sign or some type of experience that we're going to feel? In other words, I said, Lord, if you'll put the dew on the fleece, could you verify? Can we do that the opposite way? Is he going to communicate to us like he did with Gideon all those years ago? Through some kind of sign? And the answer is no. And so I want to spend a minute as to why that is and why the Son today communicates to us through the written word. I've been preaching for a long time, and this point was made not long ago over in Luke chapter 16. And Lowell Salee made it. He was talking about baptism, doing the Lord's will. I've made this point already since I heard that lesson, but I want to make it again because I think it's a good one. So in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, you recall the rich man begged Abraham, let Lazarus go to his five brothers and testify them so they would not come to this place of torment that he found himself in. And do you remember what the response was to that request? He says, they have Moses, verse 29, in the prophets. Let them hear them. No, they can go. They can go. Now, we're talking about the Old Testament scriptures at this time. But they can go to Moses is long dead, correct? The prophets, long gone. But you can go to them. And you can read them. And that's what your brothers will have to do, rich man. They'll have to go to Moses and the prophets to learn how not to come to where you are. We're not going to. It can't happen. Nobody can be sent back and tell them, don't you come here. So what's the point? Jesus' response is important. They had what we call the law of Moses, the old law, that they could study and look at and know what to do. The prophets and Moses, though long gone, they could understand what to do to avoid the torment that he was in, to avoid that torment. The law and the prophets' messages were written down. So today, to answer the rich man, what would we say? We would say they have the Son of God and his message. Hear him. You see, not Moses and the prophets. You need to hear Jesus. Now we're back to our question, aren't we? Audibly hear him through some type of sign, hear him? No. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9. In this short epistle, John said, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We have the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ. How do we have it? Because Jesus is whispering in our ear? No, we have the written word of God. The teachings of Jesus exist in what we call the Gospels and through the epistles or letters of the inspired men like the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and others that have been written down and recorded for us to study and us to know the doctrine of Christ. There is no longer audible communication from Jesus telling someone what to do, what choice to make, whether to buy the field or not buy the field. There's no longer the use of signs communicating the will of God. You can't pray to God and ask him to show you a sign. There are a lot of people who make the wrong decision because they'll ask for a sign, and then now whatever they spot and they determine to be that sign, you see what I'm saying? Oh, it was this. This happened. A frog jumped across my path. I almost hit somebody and died. I had a near-death experience, and that woke me up. I'm not living around here. They drive crazy. You see what? I'm moving. You see, how are you going to interpret that? You see, we have the Word of God. Paul said, when that which is perfect is come. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for just a moment. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it does come down to this passage and understanding what Paul is talking about when he says in verse 8, he says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Okay? When will those things fail or cease or vanish away? Well, he says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. That is talking about, well, one part is prophecy, another part's tongue, another is knowledge. We've only got pieces and parts. And then he says, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. We won't have pieces and parts. We'll now have the whole complete, right? We'll have the whole complete. Whatever is perfect has come. Now, that's not when Jesus comes. Jesus had already come. This is talking about when the Word of God is complete. And when the Word of God was complete and written down, there was no more need for prophecy. He says, well, what about prophecy? He says, that'll fail. Tongues, that'll cease. Knowledge, it'll vanish away. We don't need that anymore. So what our conclusion is that we have the complete will of God. We have our New Testament scriptures today. So that's where we're going. That's how Jesus communicates. The words that I've spoken, the same shall save you. The words that I got from the Father. How do we have Jesus' doctrine, his words, his teaching? It was written down. That's why we study, how did we get the scriptures? That's why it's important for us to understand a question like that. To understand that the Father gave the message to the Son said the Comforter is going to come, he's going to bring all that to your remembrance, to these inspired men that would be chosen to write these things down, to get it exactly right, amazingly enough, using their personalities, their experiences, that's the Holy Spirit, but they're revealing and writing down. Paul says, it was a mystery, but I'm revealing it now, in Ephesians. So that's what they do. John, in our study of Revelation, John is getting a revelation, and he's told to do what? Write it down. Guess what we're studying now? What he wrote down, including the fact he was told to write it down. And so we get that. So, yes, did God at that time give John a vision and communicate that way? Yes, the Lord, we're in the letters to the churches. And if you look at your Bible and you believe red letter writing is something the Lord's saying, which I conclude it is, and that's why it's been put in red. It wasn't in red in the Greek, but to make sure we understand who's speaking, the Lord is writing these letters. He's identifying himself in these letters. John is writing them down. He's seeing these visions. He's telling what he saw. And now we're studying it. But prophecy, tongues, knowledge, that's gone now. Because the word, that which is perfect, has come. So now we're down to, okay, God communicates through his Son. And the Son is communicating with us today through his word. Not some audible voice going to answer our question. We're not going to get a message in the middle of the night. We're not going to see a sign that tells us what we're supposed to do. So now we come back to those important questions, which is where the question I was asked at the end of that lesson is, how do we know when to buy the field? Well, how do I know when to move? How do I know when to take or not take that job? How do I know to marry this person or not marry that person? How do I know what school I should choose to go to? How do I make these important decisions in life? Well, we know where we got to go, don't we? We got to make use of the scriptures. And so I want to look at just a few verses. And one of my favorite scriptures, because this one is a passage that every time I look at it and use it, it's just powerful. It's deep. It's got so many things. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So if you're a babe and unskilled in the word, then these questions may be difficult and would be difficult because they're difficult questions for even those who are mature and skilled. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Verse 13 says the word of righteousness. What is the word going to do? It is going to help me understand the teaching of Christ and do what is right and live right. And guess what? Sometimes it doesn't matter where you're living, you can live right. In other words, the decision really isn't sometimes about could you live right in this city? Yes. Could you live right in that city? Yes. Because you've got the word to direct us to live right. And notice in verse 14, though, we have to mature in the word. We have to mature in the word. Because we've got to be able to use the word of God to discern good and evil. But I would also say we got to use it and learn how to use it to define maybe best and better. Or better and best is the better way to put that. Better and best. You see, that's right. Can I live right in this? Yes. Could I live right in that? Yes. But maybe this one would be best. And maybe that means I don't take that job. Because I can be better than I can be best here than there. I'll go backwards in a sense. And we'll address these questions in just a moment. But we have to mature. We have to mature to where that's the discussion between Mary, Martha, and Jesus. Martha, was she doing good? Yes. But Mary had chosen the good. Mary looked at the situation and she was doing what was best. Better, best. But notice by reason of use. If you're not studying the Word of God and you're not trying to mature as a Christian, by reason of use, that is this idea of practice by long use, then how are you going to form good habits? How are you going to make solid, sound decisions that are best for you spiritually? You cannot set the Word of God aside and neglect your salvation. That is detriment to your spiritual well-being. Because when you're confronted with the question, do I buy the field? And I have to find answer in the Word of God by discernment, by reason of use, I need to know something about the Word of God. Because I'm not going to get the voice to direct me. I'm not going to get the sign. Because you know what? Some people, the sign is more money. And that's how they make the decision. I'll get paid more money. To what end? The detriment of your soul. The New Testament scriptures are available for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. They are there to help us, to guide us, to direct us. The Old Testament is there for our learning, to learn from the many stories, choices, Lot went to Sodom. Lot went to the plains of Sodom, and then next thing you know, he's in the city to the loss of his children. They wouldn't leave. His wife looks back. It's there for our learning. Remember Lot's wife. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, we understand all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you can do what is right and good. It's there. And notice in verse 15 that from a childhood, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You see, when we come back to our questions, then we're going to be able to look at this and answer these questions with salvation in mind. Knowing the Scriptures, making us wise unto salvation. The other passage that I have in Acts 18 and verse 24 is Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures. You're familiar with that passage? Mighty in the Scriptures. You know, we don't need to look and say, well, he was a great speaker. I'm sure he probably was. But I don't think being mighty in the Scriptures is what that has in mind. No, he handled them aright and effectively and well. How did he do that? By reason of use. By reason of use. And so how do we come back to our questions? Should I take that new job? Well, we need to ask this question. Will it hinder me spiritually in any way? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First is first. Is my taking this new job going to affect me spiritually? Now that's how I'm going to answer these questions. Do I buy the field? Correct? How about this one? Should I move to a new location? We often think, well, is there a church? Is there a congregation? Very important. Very important. I've heard people say, well, there's not one. We'll just start one. For somebody that's been part of a work trying to get off the ground, that's no easy task. You don't just happen on it. But here's the question. Is that decision going to hinder you spiritually in any way when you move to a new location? And I cite Lot again. His decision led to the detriment of his family. Because he starts off, and before you know it, he's worked his way right into this ungodly city that vexed his soul every day, Peter tells us. And he even lollygagged around to where the angels had to grab him, his wife, and his two daughters and say, we got to go now. Can you imagine? Let me take this. I got to grab that. No, if we don't leave now, you're going to die in this city. God intervened, got them out of there. Should I move? Well, is it going to be to my spiritual well-being? Oh, I didn't put an answer to this one. Should I marry this person? If I were to ask you that question, what's the first thing that would come to mind? Are they a Christian, right? I want you to think a little deeper. Some of you have married Christians. And that didn't turn out so good. Is that the answer? You just got to marry a Christian? So let's think a little deeper. What's the better question? Are you thinking of it? Here's what I came up with. Is that Christian going to help me go to heaven? Or are they going to be a hindrance to me getting there? That's an important decision. Is God going to whisper, Jesus going to whisper in your ear and say, marry him? Is he going to give you a sign? Nope, you're not going to do that either. But you take that word of God and you put it first and you say, what's the most important thing? You're going to make the right decisions based on that. Those are going to be the questions that are the most important to you. Not just are they a Christian, but are they going to help me get to heaven? Because they can be a Christian and it's the furthest thing from their mind. And you get into your marriage and 2 or 3 years down the road and it becomes very obvious that they're not going in the same direction that you thought they were when you first got married. And that's sad and that's unfortunate. But we need to consider the Word of God. You see, now that I should buy the field or not buy the field should be answered by consulting the Word of God and using it to make a wise decision about the field. Should I attend this college or that college? Well, which college is going to be best aid for your spiritual well-being? And it may not be the one that you get the most scholarship funds from. Don't forget to seek out wise counsel. I was thinking about, you know, the Lord's not speaking to you, but you might have a lot of good people around you saying, don't do that. I wouldn't do that. Wise counsel, not foolish. You can always find somebody that's going to say, it doesn't matter. We got a story of Rehoboam. His childhood friends told him what he wanted to hear, what he wanted to do, put him in more power. That's not the answer. Wise counsel. And then I would say don't forget to pray, which is, again, very, very important. Take that tough decision to the Lord. He's not going to speak in your ear, but you get down into the Word of God and you have Him in mind and direction in mind. Providentially, I can't tell you how He's going to work. Providentially, I don't have a clue, but I know He does. If He can control the universe and everything in it, then I know He can be a part of my life and help in those things in ways that I may not see till I look back years later. But I know that He cares and He loves me. Well, I hope that helps answer that question of, well, how do I know when to buy the field? You might hear this morning, do you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? And what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, I wouldn't turn to man for that answer. I'd turn to the Scriptures, and I'd read what Jesus said Himself. And Jesus lays out the gospel. You have to believe in Him. Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. You have to repent. Except you repent, you'll likewise perish, He said. If you confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father which is in heaven. So with the mouth, Paul said, confession is made unto salvation. So we must confess the name of Christ. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You have to be baptized into the watery graves of baptism to wash your sins away. That's the gospel call. The Lord will add you to the church. Be faithful unto death. The Lord will give you a crown of life. If we can help anyone do that, we stand ready to do so. If you're a child of God, things are amiss. Things are wrong. You need prayers. Maybe you're looking for answers to tough questions. Then why not seek answer in the Word of God? Seek that wise counsel and take it to the Lord. If we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.